There are many things that cause frustration, and frustration may happen anytime, anywhere, holiday or holiday season or not. Can we avoid frustration? Last week, snowfall was extended. If you have hard time waking up this morning, perhaps you have been shoveling snow yesterday, right? And now you know how to get good sleep. Just shovel snow, have good exercise, and you will have good sleep. Well, that was extra added exercise for those who shovel the snow. And have you been frustrated when the city government is not very quick to plow in your neighborhood? If you are, then pray for the government. Continue to pray, Lord, bless our government that they may have efficiency in plowing our neighborhood. Continue to pray. Pray instead of complaining. If you have that high expectation of the government or other people, most probably you've been frustrated. So what do you normally do to express your frustration? Pray. Pray. Pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God allows us, even Christians, God allows Christians to be frustrated. Why? Because frustration practically proves our limitation as humans. We have limitations. And as opposed to frustration, when you pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit won't produce frustration. What does the Holy Spirit produce? Joyful peace. Joyful peace. See? You sense that frustration deep inside. Instead of complaining, remember, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying until you sense that peace instead of frustration. Don't stop. Don't stop. The Lord is faithful. The Lord wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Lord reminded the Israelites, if you read through, there are more than hundreds of times that the Lord said, I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. Why did the Lord keep on telling? Why not just once? As we read through the Old Testament, we know that they needed reminders because they keep on forgetting the Lord and His covenant with them. And personally, if you are the one giving instruction to somebody, to people, but people keep on forgetting, intentionally forget your instruction, would it frustrate you? Parents, perhaps, have that frustration, keep on reminding their children of what they need to do. It narrated in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 22. Let's read this together meditatively. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Now, if a person offended you and asked for forgiveness, then he offended you again 7 more times and asked, forgive me again and again asking for forgiveness, there's something wrong with such offender. Do you assume that forgiving offenders 7 times could be too much? Well, it's interesting, in Hebrew culture, there are several meanings of number 7. 7 can mean rest, because God rested on the 7th day of creation. It also means, 7 also means will of God, good fortune, and blessing. Christ knows that it's not easy for us to forgive. So when he said, when he required us, forgive 77 times, why did he require us? When forgiving 7 times is even too much. Well, to forgive 77 times is godly. If it is godly, we can never do that. If we can never do that, what should we do? We ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. It's by your grace that I can forgive this individual, this person. We seek the Lord to forgive others. And that we may have rest, good fortune, and blessing. There are a lot of stories out there, people telling about how they forgive somebody, and that person who was forgiven returns and brings blessing to the person who forgave. Others also say, if you forgive, it's you who are freeing yourself of burden. If you're freeing yourself of burden, meaning you've got rest. You rest from such. But if you carry on that grudge, you would not have rest, thinking of how painful the other person did to you. Now, is it really true that if we forgive, we have rest and good fortune and blessing? Yes, it's true. When we forgive others, we obey the will of God. It is the will of God for us to forgive. When we obey the will of God, God will bless us. When God bless us, when He is pleased, He blesses us. Remember that every instruction of God, every command of God, He included blessing. That is how He pour out blessing to everyone. Well, there are blessings that He pour out to everybody, believers or not, like the sun, the air that is given. But there are particular blessings that He included in all His commandments, so that when we obey His commands, His instructions, we will be blessed. Discover that. Discover that. Lord, I want to obey you. And you will discover that truly the Lord had included blessing in His commandments. Forgiveness is the message of Christmas. Christ came to be born on earth. Why? For the reason that He, everyone who would believe in Him, will be forgiven. Of course, we need to ask, we need to repent. It is expression of faith to God if we also forgive others. And another expression of faith in Christ is to show hospitality to one another. Let's read again verse 9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, in the NIV, it used the term offer. But other translation use the word show. I guess one respectable Bible version is English Standard Version, ESV. If you have ESV, look at that. It used show hospitality instead of offer. What is the difference between showing and offering hospitality? Now, showing, offering, if you offer hospitality, the recipient decides to accept or not accept your offer. Hospitality is completed only when the recipient accepts that offer. Somebody had been complaining that they did not invite him to join the party. Why didn't you invite me? Well, we know that you would not come. Well, at least you invite me, and then I can say no, reject that you invite me. At least I feel like you have shown me some kind of invitation. You care for me, even though you know that I would not attend your Christmas party because your Christmas party is not very Christian-like. That is the offer hospitality. Offer, the recipient would reject or accept. In comparison, The term show does not require permission from this recipient. So one may show hospitality with whether the recipient would accept or not. Show hospitality does not wait for the approval from the recipient. Just act upon it. Perform it. Show hospitality to the recipient. So to show hospitality is actively perform hospitality to others. It's like you're giving kind of food. Okay, here's your food. Sometimes when you have back in the countryside in the Philippines, I don't know if you experience this, but back in the countryside, when somebody arrived during lunchtime, people would say, "Come, join us. Come, join us." That is showing hospitality. But offering hospitality is this. Have you had your lunch yet? Kind of like, okay. Of course, the person who is so embarrassed to tell that he is hungry, yeah, I have already eaten my lunch. So, okay, they won't invite that person anymore. But of course, for those who are hungry would say, "No, I haven't had my lunch yet." We have this saying in our language, "Wanti bain bain no chanti mabisin." Yeah, just ask Brother Ferdy and Brother Dan about that. They will explain you what is it. To show is to actively perform hospitality to others. In comparison, to offer is to wait for response. It's passive hospitality, or just being careful not to offend others. Do you like this? Kind of like if you are, for example, eating something with nuts. In the Western world, there are a lot of people who are allergic to nuts. So it's good to offer, right? Don't just give that nuts to the person. Do you like it? Do you like nuts? This is why during VBS or any occasion here with children, we have this waiver or something that parents would sign to check if the children have kind of allergies. That is when we show, when we offer hospitality. Don't just show it, because we do not like others to be offended, not caring about how they feel. But when it says hospitality to no one, to one, hospitality to one another without grumbling, what does that mean? Hospitality should be done wholeheartedly with gladness. Whether we show hospitality or offer hospitality to one another, we should do it with gladness, without grumbling. Hospitality without grumbling, that is what God requires. But hospitality with grumbling is wasted effort. And you observe that between brothers or siblings. "Brother, can you give me some?" "It's yours." Something like that. That's grumbling. Have you heard that from children? They ask for, like, "Can we share that computer?" "It's yours. You're next." Kind of like, that's grumbling. That is something that God does not want, because that is against his command. Show hospitality without grumbling. The Lord rejects hospitality from grumblers. So it's a waste of effort if you grumble. It commanded in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Let's read. "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Now take note of that. did not say offer. It was taken from the NIV, and still it says show hospitality. We are instructed to show hospitality to strangers instead of just offering hospitality. To show hospitality to strangers should be intentionally done with gladness. With gladness. If you expect the Lord to bless you, it's a command to show hospitality. So if we want your hospitality to be blessed, show it with gladness. Have you ever seen an angel yet? Angel of God, can we recognize them when they appear? If angel appears before us, if angels appear before us, can we recognize them? How can we identify an angel from imposters, from pretenders? Angels of God are supposed to be ministering spirits. They can appear like ordinary human beings and pray for inspiration from the Holy Spirit. He helps us decide wisely. Being in this building many times all throughout the week, there are a lot of people coming at the door, knocking, asking for something, anything, from food, from money, or even scarf, or even something they can wear, or even gloves. They come. If I have, I will give. But there are those who are very harsh. They come like, oh, this is evangelical church, right? Yeah. Evangelical church should be very generous. Can you give me $15? Why? I need to have gas for my car. I'm traveling north. When I look at his car was far better than my car. So I say, why not sell your car and buy your gas? I'm just kidding. I did not say that. Those people are very harsh. They are not very, they are not really needy. And one time, you should be very generous because this is yours, this is yours. And then, okay, just look at the camera and you will ensure that the person will be viewing you and they will record what you are saying and they will tell the congregation about it. When they look at the camera, they become tame. So that's the way I do it. Look at the camera, just look at the camera. They know that somebody is recording them. We can learn from the experience of Lot, the nephew of Abraham. It narrated in Genesis chapter 19, verse 1 to 3. Two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them, bowed down with his face to the ground. My Lord, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night, and then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered. We will spend the night in the square. But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and enter his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. But the story narrated that the two angels were sent by the Lord and destroyed the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. So, had Lot recognized the strangers as angels? It was not mentioned. Nevertheless, Lot strongly insisted and accommodated them. He gave them food. So what is reward? What was his reward? After he intentionally showed hospitality to the angels. Well, Lot and his family were saved from the destruction of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. So have you showed kindness to strangers? Back in the Philippines, we also had a lot of those stories I'm telling you that we experience here. The Lord knows. Surely not all strangers are nice. The Lord knows that. They are not very nice. Some are imposters. They are trying to deceive. They pretend to be nice. The Lord knows such possibility. But still, He had instructed us to offer, to show hospitality. When we obey Him, we show hospitality. We are blessed even more. The Lord will deal with the impostor. The Lord will deal for that deceiver. Back in the Philippines, they would try to ask money too. But, well, if we see that, if we are deceived, for example, and give some, I believe the Lord bless us more, even more than what we have ever given to those deceivers. And I see that. So if you think that you are deceived, don't worry about that. The Lord will bless you more. The Lord knows that you were deceived because your heart was just to show or offer hospitality. So don't worry about being deceived. But pray that God would give you that right decision whether to give or not to give. Don't give your money if that money is set aside for the tuition fee of your children, of course. That's not. We give something if we have abundance. If we don't have much, then, well, sorry. It's good here in Canada because you only have in your pocket your credit card. You do not put money in your pocket. So you can say, no, I don't have money. Of course, you don't have money because you use your credit card. And that is one good thing for credit card. So when we obey, we show hospitality, we serve God, we serve others. Let's read verse 10 again. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. See? Use whatever gift you have received. The Lord would give you something that is the thing that you would give. To serve others, this is godly instruction. We obey the Lord when we serve others. We serve God. To serve others, we use our spiritual gift. Don't just try to impress others if you don't have that spiritual gift. Spiritual gift is free gift from God. And we have to be very dependent upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspires us, give us that joy, give us that peace. If you don't sense that peace, don't do it. If you don't sense that joy, don't do it. There's that grumbling instead of peace. If you sense that peace, it means the Holy Spirit inspires you. We have to be very dependent upon the Holy Spirit to inspire us and to serve others gladly, joyfully, with peace, with kindness, with goodness. Serving others is more than giving food or accommodation. We may give advice, help needed people. Some people may ask you for direction, but you don't know. You don't know that direction. But since you have your cell phone, let me check my cell phone. That is also hospitality. Let me check your cell phone. I think I know. You give that direction. Where can I find this? I don't know. But I can help you. I can search the internet for you. That is also another way of helping or giving hospitality. We pray to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives wisdom how we may be faithful steward of our spiritual gifts. So hospitality to others is just one way of the many practical ways to serve others. In the original manuscript, the term hospitality is properly interpreted as friendly love of strangers. Hospitality. It's like fellows, sinners, or others. Friendly love. Fellows or friendly love of others. So to show or offer hospitality, this is expression of love in service to others. Now during our Java night, have you missed the Java night? If you missed, now pray pray that you may attend next time. We had our, we enjoyed that Christmas celebration as church family during the Java night. And everyone enjoyed the food, presentation from talented groups and individuals. If you miss it, just pray. Pray that you may attend next year. I hope they will have again next year if the government would not lock down again. We hope. Now, in that Java night, everyone was invited to present their talent. Somebody played the saxophone, xylophone, or the guitar, the drum. Everyone had, there was somebody played the harmonica. Somebody had presented, someone even recited a chapter in the Bible. How about that? Wow. Now, if your talent is just to memorize, how about memorizing Psalm 119? Oh, no, don't. Leave that to Brother Eric. He's trying to memorize that. Psalm 119, 176 verses. That was fun. It was fun. Now, if you have special talent, maybe you have talent in dancing or miming, you can do that to next year. So prepare for that. Prepare for next year. You have 1 year to prepare. And join us next year. On Java night of Christmas celebration as church family, ministry leaders serve gladly. And they were here very early. They prepared many hours. And to our ministry leaders, so gladly prepared for the Java night of family Christmas celebration, may the Lord fill you overflowingly with great joy serving Him by serving others. Surely the Lord have already prepared reward for cheerful service to Him and others. Serving others with cheerful heart, using our spiritual gifts, that is faithful stewardship of the grace of God, of our spiritual gift. Did you know that such kind of joyful service with gladness had been exemplified in the first Christian church in Jerusalem when they selected the 7 deacons? Let's read this. It narrated in Acts chapter 6, verse 2 to 7. Let's read. The 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. It chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now, in many churches, deacons are elected as church leaders. In English, the term deacons is properly translated as wait on tables or serve. That is in the Greek manuscript originally. So the biblical duty of deacons is to serve, wait on tables. Amazingly, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly after they selected deacons who were filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. So continue to pray for our church leaders. Pray for ourselves also, for us to be filled and inspired by the Holy Spirit always, always. Keep praying. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Every time you remember to pray, pray that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit and godly wisdom. Hospitality in service to others, this practically exemplify faithful stewardship, faithful management of spiritual gift, and the grace of God through Christ our Lord. Have you discovered your spiritual gifts already? What's your spiritual gift? Is your gift of singing, gift of serving, gift of leading, gift of giving? Now, gift of giving, you will be generous. Gift of mercy, you want to visit the sick, you want to say, how are you to others? If your gift is service, serve gladly. If your gift is speaking, speak boldly. Let's read again verse 11. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised. Through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Apostle Peter implied that speaking and serving, these are two different kinds of spiritual gifts. It is possible that a Christian can have both spiritual gifts of speaking and serving, but not all Christians are given the same spiritual gift. Your spiritual gift could be different from others. The gift of speaking is given to preachers, to teachers, to those who share the gospel of God. If you are speaking of the word of God, you have that gift of speaking. If you want to speak of the word of God, pray that you would have that desire, that gladness. Now, I heard of many evangelists. Evangelists have only 2-3 sets of message. They just want to tell about the gospel, but they feel so tired when they prepare for sermons. So they are not gifted with that. They are gifted of giving or sharing the gospel of God. If that is the only thing that the Lord wants you to share, to tell about the word of God, telling about the coming of Christ, the forgiveness of sin, the love of God, if that is the only thing, at least you have that joy, that peace, telling others, so be it. Do it with gladness, and the Lord would bless you even more. You do not need to become a preacher if you are not called to be a preacher. Now, if you are called to be teachers, you have that desire to study the Word of God, and you want to teach the Word of God. You want to see people who would progress and grow in their knowledge of God, because your love is for them, is for you to impart what you have learned. If you receive the spiritual gift of service, serve gladly with, it says, the strength God provides. Serve with the strength God provides. Now, for example, plowing snow. You want to plow snow. You plow the snow or shovel snow, even the snow in your neighborhood. Do it without complaining or even asking if they need help. You do not need to show them that you are helping. You just want to go and clean the pathways of your neighbor. If you have that strength, God provides for that strength. God provides that joy. You do not need them to pretend, I need to show that I am a Christian. You do not need to think about even that. It's just that joy. Because you know that serving others is a command of God. And if it's a command of God, God will bless you more. And you grow in your muscles, grow healthier, because you have extra exercise. That's great, right? You know that you have received the spiritual gift to serve if you spontaneously serve others without forcing yourself to serve, or without others compelling you. You sense no reluctance when somebody invites you, come, let's do this. And all right, welcome. You have that gladness. Yesterday we had that men's fellowship and we had a lot of food. And somebody said, hey, remember, people would complain if you leave food or the things that you use in the kitchen. You need to clean that. And truly, there's a lot of food. But praise God, God gave gift of service to many of the men, and they clean. The men clean. Did you hear that? The men clean the kitchen. Did you hear that? Ask your husband, did you clean the kitchen? Now clean at home. That's a tip for the women. You are not under compulsion. You are not reluctant. One time, back in the Philippines, I would place a verse there. Do it, wash as if you are, serve as if you are serving the Lord, so that when the person would wash, complaining, it's me again washing the dishes, and read the verse and at the wall next to the sink, they would think twice. You miss your reward. The reward of the Lord is far better than the effort you give in serving. Think about that. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Lord bless you more than you can give in your effort? Now, many times we complain because we think we have wasted the effort. No, you don't. Actually, you are expecting much more blessing from the Lord. One, you grow in your being resilient. You grow in your character. Those are other blessings. You grow in your obedience to the Lord. You grow in many things. You grow your muscles. You grow in your Christian life. There are still other blessings that I cannot explain, but for sure, the Lord had prepared much, much blessing when we serve with gladness. In all things we do, as congregation, or private matters, individually, it is very helpful to practice our spiritual gift. Focus on your spiritual gift. Because when you are inspired by the Holy Spirit, you become more productive. The Lord would give you wisdom how to do it more productively instead of just doing what is given you. Oh, this is 1, 2, 3. Just do 1, 2, 3. But when the Lord blesses you, you can do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things more than you can ever dream or imagine. In God be praised through Jesus Christ. That we serve Him, even publicly or privately. When the Lord is blessed, the Lord bless you more. Now it's Christmas time, children. And if you've been obedient to your parents may have been preparing something special for you this Christmas. But if you were not very obedient, but lazy, don't expect your parents to give you that special gift. But if they do, then praise God. If parents would be giving such precious gift to their children, do you think God is less loving than your parents? God is loved, right? Should we expect that everything will be just fine if we obey God? Should we expect that God will do the best for us if there are expectations that are not met? Sometimes there's frustration when expectation won't happen? Can you trust that God will keep us safe and secure until our mission purpose He designed for us would be accomplished? Certainly, God provides necessary ability, strength to accomplish our mission purposes. He provides ability, the health, the vigor necessary to accomplish His purposes. The strength, if it is manual. Wisdom, if we need wisdom. Now, together, let's learn from the adventure of Joseph and Mary during the first advent of Christ, when He was born as human. It narrated in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. That happened after the wise men, the Magi, the Magi, visited the baby Jesus. So if Jesus was still a baby at that time, how many weeks, how many months was after he was born when the angel appeared to him? Perhaps maybe a month or a few weeks. Now, if we believe, if we truly believe that Jesus was born on December 25, or somewhere in that time, and the Lord said, "Go to Egypt." Wow, how about that? Mary may have been recovered from birth, if it is 1 month later. I believe Mary had been recovered from giving birth. But traveling to Egypt at night, at winter time, without a cozy car, with heater, they just maybe ride on a donkey or, I don't know, camel or horse, or even walk. That was not very convenient. What do you think? You heard about people crossing Manitoba border or Canadian border, coming from America, coming to Canada during winter. You have frostbites on their feet, or even died while they cross the Canadian border during winter. Now think about that. It may not be as cold as in Canada when Mary and Joseph traveled to Egypt, but that was not very convenient. There were also unexpected circumstances, dangers along the way. Now, if you think about that, "Lord, are you sure we're going? I heard about the robbers along the way, and it's cold, and it's no. Perhaps where will we stay in Egypt? We don't have no relative in Egypt. Here in Jerusalem, our relatives do not even give us a place to stay." So that the baby Jesus was born in the manger, much more to a strange country. Think about that. But they just obeyed. Joseph obeyed the Lord, and it was best for their safety. The Lord kept them safe. It was not mentioned that they had any danger. It was not mentioned if they had gone hungry in Egypt. It was not. But when their mission is accomplished, the Lord said, "Go back. Those who are trying to kill the baby Jesus, they have died. Return to Israel." The Lord kept them safe until even their mission as human parents of Jesus Christ. That was the mission of Joseph and Mary, to be parents, human parents of Jesus Christ. Every one of us, the Lord has called us to become His children. Do you consider yourself a child of God? If so, all of us had been mandated to witness for Christ. How do you witness? It's not only about sharing the gospel. Your lifestyle is your testimony. The way you speak is your testimony. If you are very generous, that is your testimony. Serving God is wonderful. But of course, undesirable situations are not absent. If your situation is uncomfortable, not very desirable, pray fervently. Ask God which practical step to take. Lord, lead me to the path I should take. Give me the word I should say. Pray that God leads you to His purposes for you. Lord, help me do your purpose for my life. Trust that God will keep you safe. God will keep you secure and provide you strength to keep on. I can tell you a lot of dangerous experience I had in the past. I was thinking about that. I walked along the dark roads of Baguio City alone at night, at midnight, and there are stories of killing, fraternity, but I didn't sense that. I didn't have that experience. Walking alone at night, at dark night, the Lord kept me safe, I believe, because He's not yet finished. I drive sometimes like crazy. Pastor, are you sure? Yeah, I am. Crazy driver sometimes. Of course, not trying to overspeed, but trying to overtake sometimes, even at when there's snow. There's this experience that I was almost hit by a bus while biking. Although I fell on a pothole and tumbled down like stuntman, there are a lot of scratches on me. But to think about that I was not hit by the bus, wow, Lord, that was just, say, praise God. There are uncomfortable struggles that we may experience, and they are instrumental also to strengthen our faith in God, our growth in faith, or even muscles. So when there's snow, just think of, I'll need to grow my muscle. Just shovel what you can. Do not try to finish if you cannot finish. Just do it until you perspire, and then you are tired. When you are tired, then go back. Instead of just sitting watching Netflix in your living room, you grow your fat when you do that. But when you shovel the snow, you will grow your muscles. Well, in John 3:16, verse 18, let's read this again. We read this a while back, but we'll read again. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. The message of Advent season is love. We lit the red candle this morning as a symbol of love, the candle, red candle. And God Himself showed His love to His children. He showed us, His children, how children of God love others. Jesus Christ, the most precious Son of God, is very precious to God. But God the Father let His precious Son, Jesus Christ, suffer so that all believers would be saved from eternal condemnation. If God has given the most precious to Him, Jesus Christ, will He not give us anything that we need to accomplish His purposes in us. Do you think your need is more precious than the life of Jesus Christ, than the suffering of Jesus Christ, so that the Lord would not give it to you? Christ Jesus exemplified how we, children of God, should obey our Heavenly Father. Christ willingly obeyed the Lord without reluctance, even unto His death. How can we show love for God this Christmas season? How? We serve others with hospitality. We speak of His love. Tell others that God loves them if you are given the opportunity. If people would observe you doing hospitality, "Why are you so generous to me?" you just answered, "Well, the Lord gave me that joy and peace to become kind and generous to others." Just point to the Lord Jesus. Just point to God who enabled you. That is your testimony. Then ask, "Do you want also this kind of experience?" If they say yes, then tell them, then trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. How? Just ask the Lord to be your Lord and Savior. So what happened next? I don't even know, but it happened to me. If you want to learn more, come to the Maples Evangelical Church. Somebody there might explain to you more eloquently than I can. That is how you testify. Live a life worthy to be called children of God. People, the Lord had already prepared a potential believer observing you. That potential believer could be the person who come to you most often. Person who may be very crazy or very harsh to you, but they always have you in their mind. Pray and be filled, inspired of the Holy Spirit always. He will tell you the words to say. Let's stand up and let's pray.